All right, everybody, welcome to This Is Our Year, the Minnesota Football Show. Unfortunately, as you already know, there isn't any more Vikings games this year. But, you know, we can still talk about other things that are going on.
That's actually not true.
We got the Pro Bowl games, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, we have Pro Bowl games, and we have majority of next season this year.
I guess you're right.
So much football.
Let me clarify. This season of the show, there are no more Vikings games. You do have the Pro Bowl games, yes. And, you know, come fall 2023, we're going to get more Vikings. But that'll be a whole new season. But there's other things that are going on throughout the league. Let's just start talking about these playoffs. We had the divisional round last week, getting ready for conference championships. I want to start with the Cowboys and Niners. You guys see the final play of that game?
Yeah.
It's so good. It's perfect. If you haven't seen it, look it up. If you remember last year, it was one of the stupidest plays in playoff history. They had Dak just running up the middle for a first down when they had no timeouts left. Whatever. This one is probably worse.
Was that was also against the Niners, right?
It was. It was. And I think it was the divisional round as well. No, I don't remember. But either way, it was against the Niners. Same thing. They Mike McCarthy was smiling on the sideline when he drew up that one. He thought it was going to be genius.
Well, do you think he was maybe hoping for like a lateral or something?
Yeah, because they had offensive linemen in front of the speediest guys on the team on both sides. So I think the plan was they didn't expect the 49ers to blitz more than one guy. Zeke was going to be able to take care of that guy. Dak was going to throw, but Dak got under duress, threw it to the nearest open guy he could find. It was a float pass, not a bullet pass, and that dude got immediately drilled.
It was really anticlimactic, and anybody who had any problems with the last play in the Vikings first round in the wild card round, I think will be much happy that this wasn't drawn up by the Vikings.
Right. No, and like if we remember, you know, stupid game enders in this year's playoffs, it's not going to be the Vikings who are remembered.
It's going to be the Cowboys.
No, it's so good. But those Niners.
How about
them
Cowboys?
Those Niners are a unit. And we've been saying all season.
Yeah, that Brock Purdy.
I'm still 7-0. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about this. I don't remember if we were talking on air, Austin. We were talking about, you know, superlatives for the end of the season, such as rookie of the year. I kind of thought, you know, Brock Purdy doesn't really have a chance. He only played, what, 5 games in the regular season. But if he can take them to the Super Bowl, I think that's probably worth it.
But here's the thing, that they nominate these awards pre-playoffs.
Yeah, but they don't vote on them pre-playoffs, do they?
I think they do.
No, well, I think
we just got the nominations in the middle of the playoffs.
Yeah, but yeah. I saw something that Chris Thomason said, and it was something like, as far as like the MVP goes, if you consider all playoffs with the regular season, Jefferson is obviously out, especially if Mahomes goes on to win the Super Bowl, for instance.
No, Josh Allen's out too, if you count that.
But they only do it. It's regular season considering only. That's kind of the history of the vote, is it's only regular season. I don't know if they've already decided, but it's a regular season award.
You know, but still, he did enough in the regular season that his name can get thrown on the ballot. And I think what he's done in the playoffs just really kind of solidified that, hey, this wasn't a fluke. This wasn't just me playing in garbage time. I'm actually this good. So I do think Brock Purdy's name should be in debate for the rookies, because to be honest, I think it was a very lackluster rookie year.
Yep.
To the exception of, there's a couple people out there. If you're not going to put Brock Purdy, my vote is Kenneth Walker for rookie of the year. I think he is truly the rookie that had the most to do with his team's success. I think he contributed more than most other rookies did. He may not have the best stat what line, but I think he was the most impactful of all.
Well, right. It's the same thing. He came in and took over a starting job when a lot of people were not expecting that he would be, you know, ready to go and make such an impact early on. So, I mean, he did great filling in for Rashad Penny, and it looks like he's going to have that starting job in Seattle from here on out. But, you know, when we're talking about the NFL honors, we got Justin Jefferson. He is a finalist, one of five, I believe, for MVP and one of three for Offensive Player of the Year. It's tough now because of the Offensive Player of the Year candidates, it's looking like Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Justin Jefferson. And both Mahomes and Jalen Hurts are also in the MVP conversation. One of them wins MVP. It's kind of hard. I mean, I think if you're looking at it, somebody's getting screwed as far as that goes. Because if Jalen Hurts doesn't win the MVP, he's definitely had an Offensive Player of the Year kind of season.
And but you can't win both.
It's tough because, you know, MVP seems to be the quarterback award. And, you know, me, I mean, obviously I'm biased. I want Jefferson to win. But it does feel like MVP is best quarterback, Offensive Player of the Year should be next best player. It is also possible that the MVP could also win Offensive Player of the Year. I don't think that would
never happen, though, I don't think.
I think they typically – I mean, it may have happened. I don't think they typically do because
– They don't
honestly,
really do
Fran Tarkenton won Offensive Player of the Year the same year that he won MVP, 75.
Okay, so yeah, they typically still don't do that.
Seems like that doesn't happen much nowadays, but it has happened before. No.
Because I think the last great debate, I think, was the Peyton Manning, Adrian Peterson year, where they both – it was kind of a split, I think, who was going to get MVP, who was going to get most valuable, like, Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
Quick question. What did Cooper Kupp – did he win any awards?
He won Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, so I don't think Jefferson's going to get either one of those. I think it'll be QB.
And that's disappointing because he did have a great season, but there were a lot of great QB seasons this year.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes, I think, he's kind of the shoe-in right now for, I think, MVP. And then
because he is. I mean, even just like from a non-statistical standpoint, if they're doing a fantasy draft where they're redrafting the entire league, he's going to be the number one overall pick every time. Right?
No doubt.
I don't know. I think Jalen Hurts, I think the two games he missed really affected it. But I still think Jalen.
You think Jalen Hurts is the best player in the National Football League?
If you'd ask me what QB I want right now for an offense, yeah, I'll take Jalen Hurts over Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes can do. It's a hot take, but Jalen Hurts has the rushing upside. He has, and this season he really showed how strong of an arm he has.
Yeah, that's true. I think the other person who's really in this conversation is Joe Burrow. He might be a guy to go number one overall, somebody that you draft your franchise around if the whole league is getting redrafted. I still think, to me, the slight edge goes to Mahomes. And if you look at the statistics, he had the best year out of all those guys. But
I think the most dominating team this year was the Eagles. Jalen Hurts didn't lose a single game. I know he lost one game, sorry. He lost one game, but I think he ran the best team as a QB this year. And yeah,
but look at the weapons he had. I mean, Mahomes basically, you know,
Mahomes,
the narrative was that he's not going to be able to do what he did without Tyreek Hill. He was still able to rely a lot on Kelsey. So, I mean, to me, it seems like he had a lot less weapons to work with. And I think of the teams in the playoffs, they have the least weapons.
Agreed.
So, I mean, I think if they can make it all the way.
They got some strong weapons, though. I don't want to say they have some of the least. I mean, they got Mahomes, Kelsey, and Andy Reid. Those are three huge weapons bigger than
throw Andy Reid at left tackle.
No, but you got to put coaching in there. I mean, for example, we were just talking about that play Mike McCarthy wrote up there. Coaching plays a big part, especially when it comes down to those last-minute plays. I would love to have an Andy Reid guy over a Mike McCarthy.
We're talking about coaches, if we're throwing coaches in as a weapon too, Nick Sirianni has proven to be one of the top coaches in the league this year as well, coaching this Eagles team.
No, but I think Andy Reid is arguably best coach of all time. Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like on Belichick level where it's you account for them. It's like, I know they're not on the field, but you must account for the impact that they can have on the game. And not all coaches have that.
That is true. While we're talking about coaches, I think it's worth the question. The top five coaches came out for possible coach of the year. Andy Reid, again, was not on that list. And I think that comes from one of those things. They seem to value you know, new coaches, first year coaches. Mm-hmm.
And even so, yeah. KOC didn't get on the list.
Exactly. And like, I don't think KOC is going to win, would have won Coach of the Year anyway, but I do feel like he probably deserved a nod, I think.
Oh, for sure. I was very surprised. Wins.
That's not nothing.
You know, if I would agree with you if our defense wasn't just so atrocious.
No, and you're right, because we hold that, that standard for Mike Zimmer too. You're like, oh, you know, he's got to take care of the offense too. I know he's a defensive coach, but we have to have that same standard for KOC, and I get that. A negative point differential, but 13 wins is still 13 wins.
Speaking of, Zimmer got hired. He's going to be on Deion Sanders' Colorado staff.
I heard that.
That's an interesting mix-up.
No, I mean, Deion has a lot of respect for
those guys. Go way back, yeah.
Oh yeah, that is not surprising at all. But yeah, no, I think it definitely worth noting. Might have been, again, like, it doesn't really matter if you don't think that he was going to win. I don't think that he was going to win, but you know, as a fan, you'd like to see a little bit more national recognition for the things that he did do, and. Yeah, you know, like, defense had its problems, but, you know, a lot of teams have their problems. I think probably Nick Sirianni is probably the guy to win that one just because of the way that he coached that Eagles team.
I mean, I think another thing is they're just – even on the offensive side of the ball, I know we got Justin Jefferson to be the top receiver of the year, but it's not like that was a huge leap. He was number three the prior year, number eight the year before that. So there really wasn't that huge of an also a leap on offense besides the win category, which don't get me wrong. I want to give credit to where credit's due. McConnell did a great job at kind of changing this organization and putting us in a winning mentality. That cannot be understated whatsoever. But, I mean, looking at it, at kind of giving it that national recognition, besides the wins, not a lot changed. And that's kind of, I think, the tale of the take and kind of maybe what affected us in the playoffs is, yeah, we changed it in the win column, but it almost felt like we're kind of the still Vikings. It's just we're kind of getting those end breaks instead of the end breaks happening against us.
Right, right. No, you're totally right there. Anyway, just thought it was worth bringing up. Another thing, I believe yesterday was Carl Eller, Vikings legend, number 81. It was his 81st birthday. So happy birthday to Carl Eller.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, we're back into the playoffs here. We got a little bit sidetracked. Philly versus the Giants. That was kind of fun that now the Vikings are able to share the burden of 38-7, getting beat by the Eagles 38-7 in the playoffs with the Giants now. So recency says that people are going to remember that against the Giants and not Minnesota quite as much.
Yep. Nope. Let's just keep saying that. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, you know something? I was going into the playoffs. I was really scared of like AFC teams, but after I kind of thought an AFC team was going to take it all this year. But after watching Philly play in that game, they're a scary team. They're really, really, really scary team that I think could easily beat any one of those AFC teams.
Yeah, it's it's certainly tough. I wouldn't want to go up against that team. We did, and it looked about how they've looked all season, really. That's kind of been their story. They're able to blow teams out.
Mm-hmm.
Got a powerful offense and a powerful defense. They also had KC versus Jacksonville. You know, that was one. It ended up being a close game at the end of it, one-score game. Trevor Lawrence's first loss on a Saturday in his career. Mahomes gets hurt, comes back in, playing, I believe, with a high ankle sprain. That dude's tough.
Insane. Mahomes is insane.
Tough, tough guy. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they taped it up and then on tape, then he went in and then they taped it tighter for him to come out. But it's getting scary. I feel bad for him. I mean, once playoffs come around, this is the second time going into the playoffs, he's kind of almost had a brush with an injury that could, or we have seen, take QBs out. And you're right. He's a very tough competitor to stick it out. And I questioned it. I was like, you know, you're really rolling the dice by putting your franchise guy back on the field. But
right, because you're going to need him, certainly in the conference championship. But let's keep it moving here as well. Cincinnati versus Buffalo. You know, Buffalo, they were kind of anointed like the chosen team at the beginning of the season, but they just came out flat against Cincinnati. And like, not saying that they, you know, Cincinnati, they truly are a great team, and they have been kind of, you know, overlooked throughout this season and through last season as well. I think people assumed that because Cincinnati had an easy schedule last year, that it was a fluke that they ended up getting hot at just the right time and making it to the Super Bowl. But no, they've proven this year that they can be a very consistent team, and they're young, and they do not have to pay people yet, which is the best part for them. They've got two great receivers and a quarterback still on his rookie deal. Like, all of those guys still very young. They aren't paying too much for their defense. It's kind of, I don't want to say a ragtag bunch, but kind of a ragtag bunch of guys that they've been able to be productive with and have started to really just blossom and show out as players.
Yeah, they're insane. Fun to watch, too. Really fun to watch. That's what I'm in it for. You know, I didn't really want to watch the Eagles just because I was like, eh. I don't really, you know,
Eagles.
Salt in my mouth, you know, blah, 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 bad taste in my mouth. But these AFC playoff teams are always so fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we were just talking about how, like, oh, these NFC, either of these NFC teams, San Fran or Philly, either of them could take it all. But it's exactly the same on the AFC. They're the four best teams. Three of the four were in conference championships last year. So they have shown consistency. And if we look at the Vikings 2023 schedule, all four teams in championship week right now are on the Vikings schedule for next year. So that's really scary. And that will lead us in to the main point of conversation that we have for today. What will it take to get this defense right next season to face these really, really well-run teams? We've got a few defensive coordinator candidates, as we know that the Vikings are currently in search of their next defensive coordinator after letting go of Ed Donatell. We've each got some things that we can talk about. I'll get started. You know, we got my guy who I decided to do a lot of my research on is Brian Flores. Currently, he is the Steelers linebacker coach, but you may remember him better.
Should be added fan favorite pick.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. You might remember him a little bit better as the Dolphins head coach from 2019 to 2021. He was also with New England, working with Bill Belichick from 2004 to 2008, working with, you know, debatably the greatest all-time coach for the majority of his career. When he was the head coach at Miami, his very first year, 2019, they had 5 wins, 11 losses, and that was the year that they were able to draft Tua after that. 2020 and 2021, he had a 10-win season and a 9-win season, but he ultimately was let go. I mean, long story short, he did
sued
not
the NFL,
want
right?
to throw the games. Yeah, no, he sued a whole bunch. He sued a bunch of teams after being let go. For discrimination in hiring practices. But the reason that he was let go, allegedly, is that the owner wanted him to throw games, and he said no. Brought his team to 10 wins and 9 wins after that. So when he got fired, it was a huge surprise. And really, the reason that he hasn't had a head coaching job after that is really, I mean, it's for that. It's for those reasons, you know. It fired for, you know, standing up for his team. And to me, that still sounds like a guy that you want in your program.
Oh, hell yeah. That's a guy you want right now.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, his first year, it wasn't great, but they didn't have their franchise quarterback. Things weren't together on that team. The Dolphins looked a lot better after that. 10-6 and 9-8 once again. But yes,
he's lost it.
Is going against the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Giants for discrimination in the hiring practices. And if you remember, there was a story that came out when the Giants hired Brian Daboll. Bill Belichick apparently only heard that they hired Brian, and he texted Brian Flores, congratulations. And Flores was like, what? What are you talking about? And Belichick was like, oh, oops. And the word hadn't even gotten out yet who was hired, but Belichick had heard that Brian got hired, ended up it was Dable, not Flores. And that ended up being kind of an awkward situation. So the Vikings interviewed Brian Flores on Thursday per Rappaport. Though he's also still in the running for the Cardinals head coaching position. So I'm not really sure what's going on there. I think if they decide that they want him, I'm sure that he would decide that he wants to be a head coach. But I think, again, like you said, Kerry, this guy is really the fan favorite for, you know, a lot of reasons. Not really sure how his coaching style, he's kind of a, you know, he's kind of more bad cop. You know, I don't know how that would mess, like, or mesh over there with Kyler and, you know, that whole mess over there, which is becoming even more of a mess over in Arizona. There's a quote that he has, which I really like. He says, "To me, if you want to win games in this league, you've got to be aggressive. That's never going to change for me. That's my style. I'm not going to play conservative. That's always been kind of my MO. So that's not going to change." That was Brian Flores in 2019 when he got hired to coach the Dolphins. And if you do remember, that Dolphins defense really stepped up when he was the head coach over there as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's exactly the thing that, you know, we as fans have hated about the Vikings at times is the play it cool, you know, mentality where it's like, we got a lead. Let's just relax.
Right. The soft shell coverage for all season.
No, if you're winning the game, you keep blitzing.
Exactly. You don't want them to be able to crawl back. But yeah, that's, I mean, for me, he's certainly my favorite. But, like, you know, there's some other guys who I think would be really good for this team as well. But that's Brian Flores in a nutshell.
Wow. Look at that.
Yeah.
Good work, so, Mike.
Thank you. I know, Austin, you were going to talk about Ryan Nielsen, but didn't you think he got hired?
Literally got hired by Atlanta Falcons about 20 minutes before we started the podcast.
Which he was the Saints D-line coach. / co-defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's had a kind of a little bit of a list of different defensive titles in his 6 years with the New Orleans Saints, mostly spending time on the defensive line and then being a co-coordinator. I think he took that role over the last season, but he just got hired by Atlanta Falcons, so I probably won't dive too deep into that because now that's an unreachable conclusion for this beginning or this position. But another one I was looking at is a guy actually within the rank. I might butcher his last name. Is it Mike Pettine?
It is Mike Pettine.
Good work, Austin. Good work.
I did it. No, this is another guy I was looking at. I'm not too thrilled for I don't want to be mean. I mean, I want him to get an interview, but this isn't the guy I kind of want, actually. I was thinking about doing this guy originally, but then after looking at kind of his history, I wasn't too impressed. Now, this guy, he's been in the league for quite some time. I'm going to pull up some of the stuff because I don't have exactly memorized. So if you lose me, just say something, okay, guys?
All right, sounds good.
But one of his probably biggest positions he's held is he's an actual former head coach of 2 seasons with the Cleveland Browns. He wasn't very impressive in the win-loss category. I think the perk of keeping this guy or hiring this guy into this position is you're staying with inside the building or you're not changing too much, which I think is actually the opposite of what the Vikings need to do, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I think our defense, we mentioned this last season, our defense is kind of, it almost has stayed unchanged since what, 2014, 2015, up until this season, which we saw some small changes, which at the beginning of the season really kind of showed how different and how remodeled we could be. But the reason I kind of don't want to go with this guy is his track record in the past, like I said, as being an offensive.
Oh, Austin, we just lost you.
Austin!
He hasn't been a part of many successful defenses. Welcome so, back. Yes, thank you. When he first broke into the league, he finished in top defense. His defense typically finished in the top half of the teams. But in the last, I think, like 5 or 6 years, the highest he's finished is like a 16th rank at being a part of the defense. Let me look up exactly what he did. But my reasoning in not wanting to go with him is I think he's kind of aged out of what the modern defensive schemes are looking like and going for. And I think it's, I think we need to be progressive with our defense and go towards something a little risque and a little more nuanced. Something like you said, Mikey, with the fan favorite choice. Give me 1 second. If somebody wants to carry the conversation for a second.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think when you look at, for sure with Brian Flores, you're getting a Belichick disciple who is just aggressive, aggressive. And if you stay with what we had, which is, you know, if you have Mike Pettin, it's basically, well, you know, yeah, we fired Donatel, but not much is really going to change. And I think it would have been the same with Ryan Nielsen, as far as I was concerned, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't have been really too much different. And if you're somebody who thinks, well, you know, maybe they just need some more time, there wasn't a problem with the scheme and there wasn't a problem with the players, it just didn't work out, then maybe those guys are good for your pitch. But I'm with you, Austin. This guy, you know, it helps that he's a mentor to Kevin O'Connell, but I don't know if he's right for this position.
No, I don't think so at all.
No, and I agree. I think a lot of it is just let's interview a guy because he's here inside the house.
Right, you got to give him a shot, and if he can wow you, of course. I mean,
don't say no. It's guys like Jeff Saturday. It's guys like Jeff Saturday, people in those positions, where those guys are still getting interviews, even though they're the absolute worst.
Yeah, and the teams, so here are the past teams. So he's been with the Vikings. In 2021, he was, I'm going to switch over, so if you guys lose me, just let me know, okay?
Sounds good.
Give me 1 second. In 2021, he was with the Bears, which 2021 Bears defense, I mean, they have Khalil Mack, so he does know, he has experience with working star powers, but he also played, he was a defensive coordinator in Green Bay. So he does have some divisional experience working on two other former divisional teams, which I do think is a perk. But then prior to that, 2017, he was a consultant for Seattle. And then 2014, 2015, as I mentioned, he was the head coach for Cleveland, Cleveland Browns, which they were not a contending team in those years. And then the year before that, 2013, he was a defensive coordinator with the Buffalo Bills. And then in 2009 from 2012, he was a defensive coordinator for the New York Jets, which if I bring up those names, especially late 2000s, early 2010s, those weren't winning teams. Those weren't teams that were known for defenses shutting down opposing teams.
You know, those are teams you definitely do not think positively of during those time frames.
No. And I don't want to discredit this guy just because he has a coattail of teams that aren't so what's the word I'm looking for? Trophy-esque, where you want to flash it. It's not flashy. He's been in the league a long time, so that does show that he has a great mind for the sport, a great mind for the game, but I just don't see him as the guy to take us to another level.
Agreed. 100% there. Thanks, Austin. That was really great.
Yeah. I wish I could have talked about Ryan Nielsen more. I had a little more up to say about him. But, I mean, clearly he's a great choice because he got hired. So I did have my mind in the right spot originally.
Hey, I guess so. Kerry, let us know who you're talking about today.
So I'm going to be talking about Sean, I believe it's Desai.
That's what I've
heard. Yes.
So Sean Desai, that's DESAI for the folks at home. This guy, current, associate head coach and associate defensive assistant or defensive assistant?
Yeah, I got defensive assistant, associate head coach.
Yep. So Seattle guy. Now, when you think Seattle, you know, maybe people our age, they think Legion of Boom, right?
Yeah.
This is the closest that Seattle has been to Legion of Boom style defense in probably the last four – since they went to that Super Bowl against the Patriots. So, you know, since Richard Sherman left and everything kind of fell apart, this defense looked like they were, you know, something special this year. And I think a lot of that credit goes to anybody who's on that defensive staff. And with this guy, you get a younger guy. You get someone who is going to, you know – he's a 3-4 guy. So we'd be getting somebody who's rocking the 3-4. That's okay as long as they know how to use it. And, you know, this guy has been in other positions. He was a defensive coordinator as well. If I remember correctly, it was for a team, just like the ones we were talking about, where it was like, ooh, you were the defensive coordinator for that year's team. I can't remember exactly which one it was, but the reason he's coming to prominence right now is because of his success that he just had with Seattle and the Seahawks. I think it would be a great pick. Maybe not as much. I'm not as much of a fan as maybe Flores, but it's a safe pick if, you know, Flores doesn't make it with us because he's going to be so sought after. It's a safe pick.
Yeah, man, I think you're right. I think with this one, the argument, like you said, he's a 3-4 guy. That was what we brought Ed Donatell over here to do. And ultimately, it was a failure with Donatell. But I think the argument is that, you know, it's not 3-4. 3-4 isn't the problem. It was Donatell, and he wasn't good at, you know, teaching it and executing it with the players.
Good evening.
I just coughed on my Apple Watch, and I've got Mickey Mouse on here. And I don't know if you heard that, but Mickey Mouse just said good evening.
I was thinking, what is that?
I heard something in the background. I was like, good evening.
Yep, that'd be Mickey Mouse for you. He just told you guys good evening.
Oh, well, good evening. Got to be careful with that. That's Disney.
I think we kind of all are kind of hoping for this Flores guy. But, you know, the question is this the right answer just because it's the popular answer? Right. To bring
that's
up.
That's why I went with Sean Desai. Mikey, when you asked the group chat right away, who do you guys want? I wanted the unpopular kid.
Right. And, like, I think he would be a really great choice. But I think, you know, we as fans, after seeing what we just saw, I think we tend to go with, you know, anything that is different from what we had last year is going to be better. And that's not necessarily true, though. I think both of these guys, I think especially Flores and Desai, they both could potentially be really great defensive coordinators for us next year.
And you know something, and this is when you really got to put your trust into your general manager. And Kwesi, he's made some kind of some calls that I'll say I questioned at first. And I think it's not all have been hit out of the parks, but I think he's very notorious at kind of going a route outside of the traditional way of doing things here in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
So
right. His background isn't even in football, so certainly outside the box.
He's a Stonks guy. Stonks.
I would not be surprised if you see a candidate getting the job that you just did not anticipate, that just came out of nowhere.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, it could be somebody not even on this list, because as of recording, we still don't know. I mean, it was those four guys that we know who have been interviewed, but they might be far from done with the process. Who really knows?
Yeah. And we're just getting into off season, so.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks, Carrie, for Sean Desai. Good job.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, not a lot of research on that guy. He's definitely, you know, his Wikipedia page has his credits on it, but it's, you know, this guy hasn't really been in the forefront of a whole lot.
Right. No, and like that could be a really good thing. I don't know. Nope. And that's just the thing about Mike Pettine. He's been through so much, and a lot of it seems like it's been kind of unfortunate. So we maybe hold that against him. But who knows? He could be a really good fit for this team. And they know better than we do. Let's just remember that. You know, I'm not going to get too upset about whatever they choose. And neither should you.
Mikey, one of my favorite lines that you always do is, I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not a doctor. And guess what? I'm also not an NFL coach or executive or an owner or a GM. I'm not any of those things.
Or you know what we could get into I don't think the Vikings have it, but I know the Packers have like fan ownership where it's like I just tripped on something in my kitchen.
My goodness, are you okay?
I am okay. The Packers have like employee owned. It's sort of like that sort of thing where fans can buy stake in the franchise,
right?
Mm-hmm. And they get a little plaque. Maybe we should become owners.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd have to, if we just save our money for a few months and just pool it together, I think we could probably make something happen.
Let's just take all the money from the show, and that should cover it.
Exactly, all of the profits that we've generated. This one, I just thought this was of note. This is a little bit different, but Keenan McCardell, he is our wide receivers coach. I think he was the only coach to make the transition from Zimmer to the current O'Connell regime. He did very well with the guys that we have. They love him. But he is interviewed with the Patriots and the Buccaneers for their open offensive coordinator position. So it's very possible that we'll be saying goodbye to Keenan McCardell this year. So, man, thank you for everything that you did with our receivers. I mean, KJ Osborne, Justin Jefferson. I mean, obviously, they're both very talented guys. But, I mean, during the hiring process last year, they spoke very highly of McCardell. They really wanted them to keep him around, and it's a good thing that they did.
How long was he with us?
He got hired, I believe, the last year of Zimmer. So that would have been 2021. He's with the team for 2 years. It's possible three, but I think just the two.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Super cool. I do have a question for you guys. How well do you remember last season? So the score is 20-20. Austin is winning. Kerry got the last point, though. I know we were talking about the ways to end this. Winning by two seems to be, you know, the popular way to go, you know, because that's how these games are generally played. So since Kerry got the last point and was able to tie the game 20-20, Austin, this question belongs to you. Should you choose to accept it? Are you ready to hear it?
Si, senor.
Okay. What is the most yards a quarterback ran on the Vikings last season? In a single game, I will say.
I'll let Kerry have this one.
Single game quarterback run yardage.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of mobile quarterbacks that we would have faced last year. No Lamar. No Mahomes. No Hurts. I don't think. I feel like we didn't face that many mobile quarterbacks last year. I'm going to go 66.
Final answer? Are you locked in?
I am indeed locked in, Michael.
All right, Austin. What do you think?
So, Kerry said 66. No. Didn't we play Lamar? Because I think Lamar went off on us when we played, didn't?
Mikey can't answer that.
I can't help you.
Well, he said 66, so I'll go 67. But I think – I'm pretty sure we played Lamar, and I'm pretty sure he almost got, like, 100 rushing yards on us. But, yeah, I'm going to say 67 just so I can beat Kerry if it's higher.
Are you locked in?
I am locked in. You said 66, right, Kerry? I just want to make sure I'm not messing up.
I can't answer that.
I just one higher than Kerry. So I'm pretty sure he said 66, so I'm going to say 67.
Locked in? Final answer?
Yep.
All right. Well, congratulations, Austin. You took the lead once again. The score is 21-20. It was Lamar Jackson, and he put up 120 rushing yards.
Yeah, I knew. I remember there was a game where just getting physically irate watching the TV because we could not stop him.
Well, I think that one went into overtime too, so that was a long game.
Yeah, because we also played Kyler Murray that year.
We did, but I felt like we were
able to control him. Yeah, I don't think he did well, and we also played Justin Fields, who was a running QB, but this was before he was, I think, able to really get a momentum. And we only played him once because Andy Dalton played the last game of the year.
Right, he didn't really decide that he was going to be a running quarterback until he faced us this year.
Yes.
Yeah, but Austin, congratulations. 21-20 is the current score. So for the next episode, you've got the chance to put it away next episode, win by two. Otherwise, Kerry, you have the chance to extend this game. It's kind of crazy, man. I did not expect it to be this neck and neck this far into the season.
But, you know, I should have never gone for two. I think I would have won if I just never went for two that one time.
Well, I know. I mean, yeah, if you would have, because it ended up washing is what happened. You know, you went for two, but it went back in your face and Kerry ended up getting that other point. And I honestly, I shouldn't have let it happen, but.
Horrible officiating. So, horrible officiating.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead and blame me. It's okay. But yeah, congratulations. We'll figure it out there. Some other things. For the Vikings, Dalvin Cook will be going to his fourth consecutive Pro Bowl after all, after Tony Pollard got injured in the game against San Francisco. So he was the first alternate. So
congratulations. Welcome
again to the Pro Bowl, Dalvin Cook, four times in 4 years.
Jeez. What happened to Tony Pollard again?
It was his ankle. A dude fell like right on his ankle. I don't know exactly what the injury was, but it looked pretty bad.
That's so good.
Yeah, no, he had to leave early in the game, so that was sad. Another thing that I saw, you guys hear about the Kirk Cousins curse, that no team has lost to Kirk Cousins and gone on to play in the Super Bowl in the same year. You don't lose to Kirk Cousins and get away with it. That is the test to show if you are a fraud, apparently. The Bills were the latest team to suffer from that.
We should have known right away. We should have known right after that week.
Right. No, don't bet on the Bills in the Super Bowl. I mean, and that's something that we got to know going forward. Like, I don't bet on sports. Maybe I would, but I mean, that's something to definitely take into consideration if you do bet on sports. The teams that are remaining, they either did not face Kirk Cousins this year or they have already beat him. So not really going to work for this postseason, but definitely something to be aware of, that Kirk Cousins curse. And that goes years back.
Yeah, that's not just with the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Couple more things to talk about here. Let's talk a little bit about the Packers and that whole Aaron Rodgers situation. Seems like he's getting traded.
It seems like it. Did you guys hear? So obviously the Jets hired Nathaniel Hackett, which was a move to entice Aaron Rodgers to get to Green Bay. But apparently, and Ian Rappaport said on the Pat McAfee show today that hire has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers, allegedly.
Allegedly.
But did you hear that Joe Namath said in an interview he would be willing to unretire his jersey if that meant getting Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
Wow.
Because he has number 12. It is retired. No Jets player can wear number 12. But he would be willing to unretire his jersey.
Yeah, that's wild. And I did hear, you know, I think it's Peter King and Rappaport mostly reporting on this one. But it does seem like they would only be willing to trade him to an AFC team. And history repeats itself. Brett Favre went to the Jets. I don't see why they wouldn't send Aaron Rodgers to the Jets if they are really looking to move on, especially to send him to the AFC. They don't want him anywhere near the NFC, where there's a chance that they would have to face him anytime soon.
Send him to the Colts. Just screw him over.
But they want two firsts. I heard the asking price is two firsts.
I mean, the Jets can do it.
No, the Jets have a team where they really could do it.
I mean, and I just saw Robert Saleh said that they are committed to finding a veteran. I think, you know, they say, well, no, they can't really say, oh, yeah, we brought Nathaniel Hackett over here hoping that Aaron Rodgers will see it and want to come here. They can't say that. But that's definitely what's going on, isn't it?
Wouldn't that be tampering?
Well, not technically.
I think that's the clear choice for – I think if I was Aaron Rodgers, that's the place I would want to be. I think it's the best team for you, a bunch of young talent and a really good situation, a great city to play in that is desperate to have a winning franchise. Like, what more could you want? And you're going to still wear the different shade of green.
I'm still wondering about the Raiders, though, because they would be also another enticing team for any free agent quarterbacks to go to. And that, to me, it's kind of looking like Brady over there, which I think – Brady fits to the Jets as well because, you know, revenge, you know, that rivalry between the Jets and the Patriots. But I think he fits best with the Raiders.
Did you guys see the video that came out this week of Tom Brady touring schools in Miami?
I did see it. Why would they? Oh, that's so weird.
Because this is Brady goes to Miami. They trade Tua to play a place like Los Angeles that has a bunch of weapons that need to clear up some cap space that they could just trade out. You trade Tua, you get Tom Brady, you get – and Darren Waller, I mean, he's going to be a free agent, I think, this year, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know that that is right.
Well,
I think he's right still on contract.
Okay, but still.
Well, because they just gave him a huge extension.
Okay. But still, I think if you were asking me if I was Miami, would you rather have Tom Brady or Tua right now? I think I'd take Tom Brady.
I don't know, man. There's so much speculating and just I apparently they're not ready to rule out Rodgers retiring either. That's what Rappaport said. Ian Rappaport said Rodgers may still end up retiring. We honestly have no idea.
With Brady too. I mean, I know a lot of people have already seen that quote that he had on his podcast. The, you know, if I knew what I wanted to effing do, I would have already effing done it. You know,
classic.
Exactly. They're not retiring. I mean, it doesn't seem like you want to retire, and I don't think at this point. I mean,
if Rodgers retires, he cements his status as the number one crybaby in NFL history. My team's bad. I don't want to play.
Oh yeah, we've been on a losing streak. Well, actually, I didn't tell you guys before, but my thumb's been really bothering me all season, so that's why. Like, it's not nothing other than that, you know.
Ugh. They're staying in the league. They need better teams. They both played on really bad teams this year.
So what?
I mean, it's just – I mean, this is, for example, Tom Brady.
Kyler Murray.
This was Tom Brady's worst season in his entire career, and he still made the playoffs. This was probably Aaron Rodgers, one of his worst seasons of his entire career, and he was one game out of the playoffs. And there's no need for
Tampa
them to
Bay
retire.
Shouldn't have even been in the playoffs anyways.
No, you're right. You're right.
Just because you win your division, you get in. That's a little messed up.
I like that. That's how a lot of sports brackets work. I like the whole.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be.
You could sneak in, be in an 8-9 team, and play bus for people.
Right, and I do think with that system, it is assumed that the best teams are going to make it into the playoffs, but that doesn't always happen. And
if you like what you said, the best teams are in the playoffs. That includes the best team of the worst division.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah. It's only, you know, I get where you're coming from. And I don't really mind it either. I think it definitely adds something interesting. I think especially this year, being that, you know, the Buccaneers were a losing team, they still had Tom Brady and how much success he's had throughout his entire career, including playoffs, obviously.
They were a losing team, and they were favored to beat the Cowboys.
You couldn't count them out.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. It's just the fact is, I think they just need better teams. They're not – at a position, I think – well, I don't want to say it about Aaron Rodgers because Aaron Rodgers, besides this year, was back-to-back MVPs. He can go off. I think they need teams that can complement them. And Tom Brady needs to be on a team with a good defense.
Tom Brady needs to be carried because he's an old man.
Yeah.
Still best player on the Bucs this last year.
True. Couple other things, you know, I guess one more thing here. Did you guys see the video? It's been circulating on Facebook, at least. It's a woman in, like, up in the catwalks at US Bank Stadium. You can see every seat and the entire field during the skull chant. Is that something that if you had the opportunity, would you want to do it? Or is it a no for you?
Oh, I would love to do it. My mom would not be able to do it. My mom is a person who is very much not afraid of heights, but you would probably have to pay her to go up there.
I would love to do it.
Yeah. No, I'm so in. I'm like, where do you get a job where you're able to go up on the cats? Because I want that job.
Mm-hmm. No,
I mean, I just saw that. Thought I'd ask you guys about it. If you haven't seen it, it's super cool.
And it's a testament to how big the stadium is, because it the field and the people below.
Well, like to be ants. Fair, it did have kind of the fisheye lens, and anything in that sort of like fisheye or like 0.5 looks massive, insanely huge. But there's no way it doesn't look huge from up there.
I mean, it's still huge.
You could probably hear the bird poop hitting dying. The top of the stadium from up there.
No, that's not bird poop. That's the birds dying because the stadium. I still think it's
They hit the sidewalls. This is the ceiling. They're pooping.
They hit the glass part of the ceiling.
Did you guys see there was a survey, apparently, some survey. I don't really even know.
Oh, who was I know what you're about to say. Yes. But
U.S. Bank was ranked, I think, the 12th building in the world.
Yeah.
And the ugliest stadium in the world. Like, 7th ugliest building in America.
You got to – if it were, like, the Cowboys stadium or the Giants stadium, I don't know. It fits with the Vikings. It's super sharp.
Bold. Like, it's bold. I'll give it that. And it's not conventional. But who's writing this article? Like, honestly.
I love the stadium. I love the stadium.
When it's the sharp. Stadium it's the Vikings. Built, it looks like a Viking
ship. I wouldn't say it's sharp. It does not look like a Viking ship. People
it does, said I think it does look like a ship.
It does really not look like a Viking ship. It maybe it looks – if you
– It's got a strong bow on the front. I mean, it's got kind of the vibe of this. Of a ship
that being a ship. It has the bow, but it doesn't really look like it. I think you could have made it look more like a ship, especially if you're going for a Viking ship. It looks more of like a pirate ship than a long ship, which is more historically correct with the Vikings, if you're going by that. I do think it's not the prettiest stadium. I don't think it's the most ugly. But, like, for example, when you look at, like, SoFi or Mercedes-Benz or Gillette or Lambeau or, hell, even Soldier Field, these are all visually more appealing stadiums, yes.
Get this guy out of here.
On the outside. But when you get to the inside, I think the Viking Stadium is very pleasant. I think it looks very cool. On the outside, though, it does look like a weird-shaped rock.
I mean, get this guy out of here.
It certainly is a weird shape, but you know, like it's got character, and that's what I really like about it. And some might say that it's ugly, but I don't think it's ugly. If you're listening to this and you think that it's ugly, if you feel strongly about it, let us know. We'd love to hear what you got to say.
Give us your address too.
Exactly.
Really cool, but at the same time, like I said, my big thing with it is I think they were limited with what they could do because they put it into the city. I actually saw there was something really cool. It was, I think it was MLB. It wasn't football, but it was like a graph showing how close stadiums are in proximity to downtown. And typically Minnesota sports, we do put our stadiums like downtown in the center of Minneapolis or St. Paul. And I think if it was maybe on the outskirts, they could have done maybe a little bit more, make it a little more visually appealing, but I don't know. It's cool.
No, yeah, it's cool. But it's probably all the time we got for today. So unless you guys have any last parting words that just cannot wait. I would say this was a successful review of our defensive coordinator candidates. Always happy to record with you guys. Looking forward to the next time, which I'm sure, as soon as there's more news, anything super notable, we will get together and we'll let you know about it.
One thing, we didn't give our predictions on who we think are going to win conference championships.
Oh, right.
I think that's probably a good thing to do for a football podcast going into conference championship week.
I agree. Cincy and Philly.
For me, give me Cincy and San Fran.
I got to go. I love the Eagles, but I've been repping Brock Purdy since week one. Like, so I got to go San Francisco. I'm going to go Cincinnati. I think they're really – it's a perfect story losing last year. Well, I mean, their whole story of just kind of coming together as a team, especially since getting Joe Burrow. So, yeah, I really – and I think they're a better team than Kansas City. I think they have better weapons. So
and let's not forget, Joe Burrow has never lost to Patrick Mahomes in his career. And they have faced off a number of times. I think they faced off 3 times before. This will be their 4th meeting.
Do you think? Okay. I mean, this might be a better question for the after show, so I'll wait for that.
Well, that's a secret.
God, all right, dude. Dude, this guy.
He blew it, man. All right, we will talk to you guys later. See ya.
Not after this show.
Bye.
All right, welcome to the after show.
God damn it, Austin.
You let the cat out of the bag, Austin.
I'm so sorry. I have a great question.
Let's know.
Is Joe Burrow taking over the mantle in the spot that Jimmy Garoppolo held? Because, you know, like, Jimmy Garoppolo has, like, been, like, the most beautiful player in the NFL. Like, the ladies' favorite player. Everybody loves Jimmy Garoppolo. He looks great. But honestly, I think Joe Burrow is taking over. I think he's becoming in the new eye candy of the NFL.
I think you know who it actually is, I think?
Huh.
Stephon Diggs.
Oh.
No. He's the bad boy.
No. No, Austin, I think that take is spot on. My girlfriend loves Joe Burrow. She likes football, but she doesn't get into football like exactly like quite as deep as we do. But with Joe Burrow, she would.
Yeah, she'll tell you his high school stats.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw a reel. I was sitting with her on the couch, and it came up on her phone, and she's like, it was this guy. He was talking about how, like, dudes, be careful. Your girl who doesn't know much about football, she can probably tell you. She can tell you who the Cincinnati quarterback is. She can probably tell you his QBR. All these things. He's too powerful, and he must be stopped.
Yeah,
he will steal your girl.
He is a menace. He is a menace.
No, he's just got that, and you're right. Like Jimmy G, you know, Jimmy G. It's tough. When will he be unseated as the most handsome guy in the league? Is it now?
Stephon Diggs has all these GQ things and blah, blah, blah. Well,
yeah, but I mean, so many NFL players have GQ things.
And Diggs is super charismatic. I'm not saying that, but if we're going just off of, like, Joe, man, I mean, come on.
And you know, the thing is, Jimmy G, I think it's the eyes with Jimmy. Like, I don't know if you look, it's just something about those eyes. But with
it's
Joe,
five
it's
o'clock
just
shadow too. He dude rocks at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, he's Italian. He's got the dark hair, long tan, dark and handsome.
The jawline, man.
Joe's got like that Lucky Charms charm about him. Like,
and
I don't know what it is.
He just commands a room. And
the
you know,
picture
like
of him at LSU after they won the championship with the cigar, just like, whoa.
Right. No, he smokes. It's like, he's so cool. Like, he doesn't care if he can't play like later. It's like the opposite of Tom Brady in a way, where like Tom Brady's body is a temple. Joe Burrow is a winner too, but he smokes cigars.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on. Now that are you guys
no,
I'm okay?
I'm done fanboying over
Joe Burrow.
Joe Scheisty.
All right, he's got the nicknames. That's so. We were talking about it a little bit before the show. I've got a new commercial. It comes on TV remote through the window. You know, I'm going up to my TV and I'm Dallas Cowboys fan destroying my TV. Do you have a guess as to what
this new commercial is.
No, I don't know.
People are starting to complain about it on the internet now. A little bit. It hasn't quite broken to the BK level, but it's my signal is gone kaput.
That one's bad.
I don't know if I've seen this one. It's, I don't watch too much TV.
It's Jason Sudeikis as Albert Einstein.
I didn't even know that was Jason Sudeikis. It's.
Is it Jason Sudeikis? I thought it's the guy from like Big or. It's not Jason Sudeikis.
I think it is, isn't it?
Yes, it is. No. It's him and Cecily Strong from Saturday Night Live.
That's wild. I wouldn't have guessed that, but I do see it. And this dude doesn't even look anything like
Verizon. It's for Verizon. Verizon has so many ad spots in the NFL. It's ridiculous. It's Verizon.
Yeah.
You guys watch one of the champ games this weekend?
No, it's not Jason Sudeikis. It's Paul Giamatti.
Oh, yeah. Paul Giamatti, yep.
Yeah, because I was like, that's not Jason Sudeikis. That's from, like, what is it, Big Liar or something? The guy that gets colored blue by Frankie Muniz.
Well, now an idiot. You had me wired into it. You're like, oh, yeah, I guess that is Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, yeah. Well, anyways, that commercial is the worst. You watch the champ games this weekend. You let me know how many times it comes on. In fact, I raise a challenge to you guys. You have to drink a beer each time that commercial comes on. It has to be done by the time the commercial's over. Oh, you'll die by the end of the game.
No. You know, okay, and we said this before recording too. I think that we on this program.
Oh, it was before it was cool.
No, yeah, we were hating that BK commercial before all the memes. So don't ever say that we just hopped on the bandwagon.
Like, this was week three, we were like, God, this Burger King commercial.
Right, and most of the really, I mean, they are super funny memes on it nowadays. But, no, we've been here. We knew. We've been hating.
It's just so bad. And it's all I feel like it'd be even worse if it was just one, like this Verizon commercial. But they do have the variants.
There's so many of them.
Yeah.
They've got the Whopper, and they've got the chicken. They've got the 30-second spot. They've got the minute-long spot, 15 seconds. They're all – there's so many variants. You're right.
I love it.
Ugh. Has provided some funny content on the internet, though.
Oh, yeah. It is very funny. I'm actually trying to – I want to try and learn the bass line because the bass line does kind of go hard. It's like –
it's kind of a bop. Like, it's super annoying, but I think the hatred has turned into just kind of like an absurd chaos now. You know, I can't help but laugh at it now. Like,
it's like Tom Brady. You know, you hate him, but then it's like, oh, you know, it is kind of funny.
Yeah,
he's an idiot, you know.
But yeah. They're just so much. You hear that the M&Ms are stepping away from M&Ms. The spokes candies are stepping away for now because.
Yeah. Yep. And I saw another one. I couldn't tell if this was like a jab at M&Ms or it's like, really, we're doing this. But it was like A&W announced that they were like putting a pair of pants on their mascot. It was like, we realize he's been naked all this time. Don't worry. In 2023, he's going to be wearing pants from now on. I couldn't tell if that was like it was this big, long, multi-paragraph, like, company statement that they tweeted out. I don't know if that was a joke because it happened right after the M&M thing. I think it was maybe a joke.
It's entirely possible.
It came from the official account, but I think they were making a jab at the M&Ms.
Right, no, that makes a lot of sense.
But it is ridiculous. No, these certainly. People.
Yeah, right? But, I think that's probably it.
Yeah.
We're good for today.
Yeah, we got through a lot. We did. Very productive.
Also, Austin got kicked out of the app and he can't join back. So,
now we can talk about him.
Exactly. You didn't hear about that dude? Yeah, he's
what is dummy?
Yeah, right.
First he liked Dalvin Cook, and then he didn't, and then he liked him again. Like, what an idiot.
Do you remember when he said that iPhones were so stupid, but he always has problems joining the podcast with his it's Android, a Google phone, maybe? Listen to us, crystal clear.
Yeah.
Can't complain.
Nope, can't complain here, you know. No issues here.
Cool. Well, anyway.
Guess Austin can't join in on this.
Skull!
Huh? Huh? That's you, Skull!